This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we began our journey of warning mankind based upon Surah Nuh, whereby previously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the various punishments that will befall the people, or the calamities towards the end of times. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Bashar, sent human beings, or sent prophets to become living examples to mankind how to live their life. Because maybe a person may think that the verses of the Quran are far away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places human beings, or places the best of human beings, these messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to live as examples for us to follow inside our lives. كان الناس أمة واحدة فبعث الله نبيين مبشرين ومنذرين. Previously people, one nation, one people, prior to the people of Nuh alayhi salam, then Allah began to send the messengers, tatra, another place inside the Quran, one after another, continuously, to remind people, because people began to drift away from Tawheed. People began to drift away from the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah sent these messengers. Inna arsalna ilayka Nuhan. We sent Nuh alayhi salam ila qawmihi, to his people, and anzir, to warn his people. And that's what we find, the way of the message is to warn the people. As Allah mentions in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. Remind the people about the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this way, the message inside the Quran of warning mankind, that's the theme inside these following surahs, is exactly the same theme of warning mankind, warning people. Inside Surah Al-Jin, the warning is not just to the world of the human beings, but the world of the unseen as well. And in Surah Al-Muzammil as well, speaks about warning mankind. That we sent, إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ رَسُولًا شَاهِدًا عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ رَسُولًا. We sent you as a witness, as a messenger, just like we sent previously to Fir'aun, a messenger Musa was sent to him. فَعَصَى فِرْعَوْنُ الرَّسُولًا. But Fir'aun, he disobeyed the messenger that came to him. This is a common trait in society, that they reject the messengers. They reject the Anbiya. And again inside, we find inside Surah Al-Mudathir, as we're going to come to that as well. Ya ayyuhal mudathir, qum fa'andhir, wa rabbaka fa'kabbir, wa thiyabaka fa'tahhir. Or one who's inside the garments, qum fa'andhir, get up and warn the people. As if this is a bashara, that after learning what belief is, Islam doesn't tell you to sit still, to remain stagnant. You have to come out and warn the people, tell the people, remind them about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because prior to that, people may have been in that oneness, but they began to drift away. Because insan begins to forget, begins to slip. Shaitan comes and begins to derail people away from at-tawheed. That's where we find the essence of the human being is a Muslim, or this nation was always muwahidun. The beginning of the creation is everybody was upon tawheed, upon the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is shaitan, we mentioned inside Surah Nuh, who came, who began to lead people towards a shirk. And that's why when people think that it's a shirk is a stepping stone, or grave version, we mentioned, is a stepping stone towards shirk. It's not a stepping stone. It's not a stepping stone. It's a fine line, a hairline. That's what it is. That some people say, no, it is bad, but it's not really that bad. It's a fine line, that slight slip of wordings or actions or thought or perception takes you from away from iman into kufr, into disbelief. Not that we're applying it upon anybody who may come to a grave or a shrine, but we're trying to understand is a concept that because we become so lenient inside our society that we begin to think it's something tolerant, that if somebody does go to a shrine or somebody does go and show their respect to a sheikh or an imam or religious cleric or wherever it may be, that we should tolerate it. We don't tolerate that because we can see what the impact of it is, what people are doing at these shrines. That's why the hidden message of this surah, that some people may be thinking that Surah Al-Jin is speaking about this identity of this unseen. If you really study the surah in great detail, it's nothing but speaking about Tawheed. That's the real message of this surah, that is speaking about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout this surah. And that's the core message of the Quran. Because azamatullah, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what we need to instill inside our hearts and our mind, is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the one that deserves and has to be worshipped on the face of this earth. So the messengers, they came to deliver the message, but the specific message of the Prophet was something special that went beyond the parameters of the world that we see. That's what Allah mentioned, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We don't send you except for as a mercy to all of the world. This is the Quran begins. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ulama begin to discuss, what is Alameen? What is the worlds? What are these worlds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about as these people spend billions to get to Mars or to get to space and have whatever they want to do out there in the world? They spend billions, but they don't fail to recognize what the worlds is. Who is Rabbul Alameen? Who is the master, the lord of the worlds? Because all of this should lead a person to what? سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَهُمْ أَنَّ الْحَقِّ. That when a person traverses the horizons, goes beyond the hemisphere, sees the heavens, the skies, the stars, the night, everything, what should it lead to an intellectual person, lead them to? That there is only one to serve. There's one supreme being, one supreme creator, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the messenger was sent, alayhi salatu wasalam, to warn people. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَةِ النَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. We sent you to warn people, to give glad tidings. That's why some people, they get upset that, why is Islam warning people? It's the Quranic language to warn people and to give them glad tidings, to remind people. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, indeed the reminder benefits the believers. Hatta ulama al-lugha, they speak about al-insan. The meaning of insan comes with nasiya, to forget. Human beings, they forget. So they continuously, they need to be reminded. Reminded about their journey, reminded about their intent, reminded about their purpose, reminded about, as we mentioned, the last days. All of us need to be reminded. That's why the Friday admonition, maw'idha, is a reminder primarily about the last day and about our preparation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that inside is the world of alimul jinn wal insi, that we find the world of the jinn and the human beings. You know, when Allah mentions how the Quran says, Surah Al-Dhariyat, the 51st chapter, verse number 56, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. فِي هَذِي الْآيَةِ إِشَارَةً. Even inside this ayah, there's a simple truth, that there's an essence before the human being. Because Allah said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ. I did not create the jinn. Allah mentioned the jinn قَبْلَ الْإِنسَانِ, before the human being, to show as if the jinn existed before us human being. As human beings, they existed before us. And that's why numerous ulama of tafsir, Al-Araqsib ibn Kathir, when he speaks about the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. When Allah said to the angels, I'm going to place a viceroy, a vicegerent, a representative who's going to be a khalifa, take over, some ulama mentioned, take over the earth, carry on what existed on the earth before. The angel said, are you going to place upon this earth? Look at the traits that Allah mentions about the human being, or what the angels mention about the human beings, who are going to spill blood and create fitna upon the land. Focus upon that carefully. How the angels, they describe the human being. Sifatul Ama, a general sifa of the human being. Let us just study that in just a hundred years or so that we find of what is the nature of the human being. Not going back at the beginning of time, what the nature of the human being was. As we mentioned, Habil and Qabil, what took place. The first killing that took place based upon jealousy. The First World War, 1914 to 1918, that we find 20 million people died. 21 million people, that they were civilians, or hardship was caused to them, or the state of injury in those 4 years. The Second World War, that we find some 1939 to 1938 to 1945, that we find. What do you find? Approximately 70 million people are killed. 70 million people are killed. And this nature of the human being, it continues. The Holocaust from 1941 to 45, 6 million Jews are terminated, exterminated, gassed, tortured, harmed. And not just long ago, July the 11th, 1995 in Bosnia, what took place there? 8,000 to 9,000, the genocide that took place there. Only 27 years ago, they speak about humanity. They speak about humanity, they speak about Geneva Conventions and protection of prisoners of war and sanctity and life and this, that and the other. It's all rubbish. Because the Quran describes that their nature is to be full of pillage and carnage and harm to people, harm to innocent people. And let's not speak about the other genocides. Read through the genocides. The Rwandan genocide that took place. The Cambodian genocide took place in 1975. A million suffered and were killed. This is the human being, whether it be towards Muslims or towards non-Muslims. This is the nature of the human being that the Quran describes. And it warns about that if the human being doesn't become one who serves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will serve their own interest. and is serving of their own interest, they will carnage, they will pillage, they will slay, they will kill people, whatever they want to do. Read what happened 27 years ago, what they've done to people. It's gruesome. It brings tears to a person's heart and their mind that this is what they've done to innocent people, innocent children, innocent women. It's not too long ago, 27 years ago. Read about apartheid movement in South Africa, how they dealt with people inside there. Read about the civil rights movement, how they dealt with the black people there. These are the so-called civilized states that we praise and we look upon, that they're going to rectify our affair. They're going to take care of our society, take care of our people. They've got blood on their hands. Blood that's dripping from their hands that they try to deny or try to push to other directions. So we should be wary about the nature of the human being. And that's why some ulama said that actually the jinn could be far better than the human being. They're far better than the human being because they learned or they saw the mistakes. That's why some said Ibn Kathir al-Bidayah wa Nihayah mentioned that the reason why Ibn Kathir, or he mentioned that the angels saw this or they recognized it because they saw what the jinn were possibly doing on the face of this earth. How they began to behave on this earth, that the human beings going to follow suit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inside this surah, that we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights to the Prophet alayhi wasallam, قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّوْ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. Allah inside this surah, 72nd surah of the Quran, 28 verses, just like the previous surah, Surah Nuh. This could be an ishara, a reason that similar surahs, similar patterns, similar words, similar themes exist inside there. As Imam Sa'di says, there's namely surah, قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ, that it has been narrated to me. That's why only five places inside the Quran, Allah begins via the kalimat or the command, qul, the four quls of al-kafirun, al-ikhlas, al-falaq, al-nas, and surah al-jinn, qul uhiya ilayya. And surah al-jinn, the only name in the surah that begins with an identity which is unseen. Everything inside the Quran, the names are known to us, whether it be al-an'am, the cattle, the spider, al-namal, the ant that we find, al-baqarah, or other things inside the Quran speaking about the last days, all known to us. This is the only place inside the Quran. It's called Surah Al-Jinn, the world of the unseen. Because there's those people who negate it. There's extremities between our belief. There's those who believe it's just philosophy. There's no concept of the jinn, of a hidden world. It's a view that's passing through. Even some works of modern writings that we find, they deny the concept of the unseen. As we said, that the importance of believing in the unseen. These are Islamic thinkers and writers. They say there's no proof about the jinn. It's just a figment of the mind. That's why even when people go through possession and go through hardship, what do these medical doctors say? They just inject you. They just jab you inject you. Because they don't want to believe in the unseen. They don't want to believe that there is an element of possession that could take place. And then we find the other extremity, that the jinn have a superpower over human beings. That's the other extremity amongst Muslims, that they're fearful. Ulama have concluded the jinn are more fearful of human beings. That's why they live in their own state. They live in desolated homes, desecrate homes, faraway places, in deserts, in caves, in crevices, in mountains, in valleys. They live far away from us because they're scared of us. That's what ulama write, is they don't want to engage with us. There's a barrier between us and them that we find. So the element of that we should be worried about them. They have their world that they reside in. And even the Prophet, he only met them on a few occasions that we find inside this surah, that three times inside Mecca and twice inside Medina. But on these occasions, he never actually physically met them. He only heard about them because Allah revealed to him, قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ, it's been revealed to you that a group of the jinn, that they heard the recitation of the Quran. So this moment in time, he never saw them. It's just been revealed to him. That some ulama said, Surah Al-Ahqaf, وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا عَلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ قَالُوا أَنْصِتُوا. We find that when the jinn heard the reciting of the Quran, said, remain silent, listen to it. So some ulama, they mentioned the Prophet was returning back from Ta'if and going to the Souq of Uqqaz. And the time of Fajr came time in a place in Nakhla. He stopped and he began to read Fajr. Either he was reading Fajr all on his own, or he's reading with a group of companions. Some said he's possibly reading Surah Al-An'am. The sixth chapter of the Quran, full of Tawheed, is one view that exists there. And you find that whilst reading that, you find that the jinn came there. Why did they come there? Because when the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began, them traveling up, traversing to the heavens, and snatching information was stopped from them. That's you find that soothsayers, magicians that we find, people who tell the future, they say there's an element of truth that they snatch information from the heavens. They use the jinn to gain that information. But we find that when the revelation came, that was sealed. That there was meteorites that thrown upon anybody who tried to travel into the heavens. That was something given special to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So the jinn began to question, why are we not able to extract information from the heavens? Listen to the angels talking, get this information. So they said, traverse upon the earth, go upon the earth. Something is causing this blockade. So they began to go east and west and travel until there came a group of the jinn. Nafarun min al-jinni, an-nafar amma fa'uka thalatha. A group of three or up to nine or ten of them came. They traveled and then they heard the Prophet reading the Quran. When they heard him reading the Quran, said, this is what has blocked the information from us. This Quran is prevented from us. We can no longer reach the heavens and gain this information. We've been stopped. When they heard this, when they heard the Quran, look at the impact of the Quran. Inna sami'na Quranan ajaba. We've heard something marvelous, unbelievable. These words that we've heard. That's why ulama said that the penetration of the Quran upon these individuals, man, these are hollowless individuals. They find, because the meaning of jinn is something, فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلِ. When Ibrahim alayhi salam speaks about, he's teaching his people tawheed. Not that some people think that he was a mushrik and he went to tawheed. He knew tawheed. He was trying to give them this display, this theatrical display of what tawheed is. He said, when the stars came, فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلِ, when the night was covered, it was covered in darkness and the stars came, kawkaba, the stars became apparent. قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي, said, this is my Lord. But then they dispersed, they went away. But the kalima here, jannah. Jannah means to cover, to seal, to conceal. That's why you find jinneen. You find that the mother's womb is something, is hidden. That's why you find that the jinn is something which cannot be seen via the naked eye. There's another place in the Quran Allah mentioned, well, jann. خَلَقْنَاهُ, we created the jann, the plural of jinn. A jann is the plural of the jinn that we find. We created them from what? From the smokeless fire. That they can change shapes, change identities. They can enter easily. Hollow and enter into human beings, enter into animals, enter into anywhere. That Allah has given that ability. That's why Sulaiman, he had control. That's why Allah mentioned that he was given the control of the jinn. When the Hushira Junuduhu, min al-jinni wal-ins, when the junud, his army, his troops came, he had the troops of the jinn. The jinn worked for him. The human beings worked for him. He had that control over them that was given to Sulaiman alayhi salam. And he made this dua, give me only this control. That's why the Prophet, he could have gained that control, but he refused to take it because of this dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam. But inside that story of Sulaiman that we find, وَقَالَ إِفْرِيتُ مِنَ الْجِنِ. Ifrit is a powerful jinn. He said, I'm going to bring the throne of Bilqis before you stand up. Before you even stand up, I'll bring this great big throne of earth from Yemen, from Sheba, I'll bring it. I'll bring it right, or bring it in right before you stand up, before you can stand up. But one of them said, who'd been given the knowledge of the book, who's more powerful. He said, I'll bring it to you before you even blink. Before you even blink, it'll be there in front of you. Then it was placed there in front of him. قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. This is the virtue of blessing of Allah has given to me. He's given me. So this, when people say that we can control the jinn, لا يجوز شرعاً. Even ulama that we find who begin to call about following the Quran and Sunnah say, yes, there's no harm in controlling the jinn to get the jinn to do something for you. The majority of you is not allowed. You expel the jinn, you release them. You don't control them. They don't become slaves and servants towards you. As Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he highlights that those people who do work with the jinn, they think they've got control over them. The jinn is sniggering at them, laughing at them. Because the human perception thinks that they've got control over them. But the jinn is controlling them because the jinn tells them to do certain things. And tells them to do all types of shirkiyat, all types of shirk things it tells a person to do. And then when it leaves your body, this is a trial from Allah. When it leaves their body, they say that so and so person was able to extract the jinn. But what words did you say? What words did you use? What actions did you do? Because you moved away from just from possession, you moved into shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember, when a person is sick, they're in dire need. So to alleviate themselves, they will say whatever you tell them to say. They will sacrifice whatever you tell them to sacrifice. They'll use whoever's name you tell them to use. But that's what when Iman comes into play, that your belief is strictly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these entities, whether it be apparent or hidden, nothing can harm me. Nothing can harm me inside my life unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows it to take place. When a person begins to weaken and think that maybe because of this, maybe because of that. That's not what the creed of a believer should be. That's pure tawheed inside this surah. That's why the jinn, when they heard this Quran, and another lesson ulama mentioned, what does the Quran do? Don't just marvel at the Quran. People say marvel at the words of the Quran, marvel at the recital of the Quran. As Imam Shankiti writes in some of his works, that's not the real intent. That's not the intent of the Quran, that many of us have forgotten that yes, awakening ourselves with beautiful recital of the Quran is something good. You find many ahadith, Sunnah Abi Dawood, مَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَنَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Whoever doesn't recite the Quran in a, if you could use the word linguistically, in a musical tone, in a nice tone, is not from amongst us. He mentioned about one of the companions who's been given Mizmar min Ali Dawood, who's been given from amongst one of the flutes of Dawood, a beautiful voice. It does help. But what's the real intent? As Imam Shankiti mentioned, that when the Quran is powerful upon you, what does it do to the individual? Does it just come home and say, you know, that was a beautiful recitation, or a click, or a like, or a thumbs up? What is it? I want to change. That's the real impact of the Quran. That's enough of my life. That's enough of disobedience. That's enough of being astray. That's enough of being lost. That's enough of this life. That's what the impact of the Quran is. That's why the jinn, when they heard the Quran, what happened to them? That they submitted. قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا يَحْدِي إِلَى رُشْدِ فَآمَنَّا بِهِ وَلَنْ نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا. Simple words. Straight away they heard the Quran. Straight impact. They heard the Quran. يَحْدِي إِلَى رُشْدِ. Quran guides you towards what? Rushd. Towards guidance, towards the right thing. That's why ulama said, لَمَّا تَقْرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ. Don't read the Quran to finish the juz. Don't read the Quran to finish the surah. تَقْرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ لِلْحِدَايَةِ. Read the Quran for guidance. That's how you approach the Quran. Read the Quran to guide you, to guide me. يَهْدِي لَرُشْدِ. إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ. Allah mentions that Surah Isra, this Quran guides to that which is strong, which is powerful. That's what the Quran does. That's what, look how it raises people, defames people, is the impact of the Quran inside our lives. The more impact of the Quran, the more it changes. And then look at the belief. وَلَنْ نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا. We're not going to commit any shirk with our Lord, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Heard the Quran, immediate impact upon them. Walk away from shirk. Stay from any element of shirk. And the impact of the Quran, that you can lecture in all that, even non-Muslims, study how the impact of the Quran is upon them inside their lives. When they just hear the Quran, hear the recital of the Quran, hear that melodious tone, hear the words, they know straight away. It impacts their soul, impacts their mind, impacts their heart. We're Muslims. We're Muslims, and where's the impact on us? There must be issues inside our hearts that the Quran is no longer being receptive. Look, istama'u. That's what we find. Don't just pay close attention to the Quran. That's why even some ulama say, just play the Quran on your own. If you can't recite, play it and just listen to it carefully. Be attentive to the words of Allah. Even may sound spiritual, but even when you go to sleep, just play the Quran. Let it play in your mind. Let it play inside your heart, your mind. Because at least it's the words of Allah around you that you're surrounded by. Not as people today, they play songs and music around them and chimes around them to put them to sleep. If you want to do something, just play the Quran. Let it play the Quran. The Quran, it soothes. As you find in certain places inside the Quran, when a person listens to certain surahs inside the Quran, you find a refreshment of Iman. Surah Yusuf, Surah Taha, Surah Al-Anbiya, Al-Mu'minun, Al-An'am. Certain surahs in the Quran, they're powerful. Not to say that the whole of the Quran is powerful, but there's certain places inside the Quran when a person listens to them. Surah Al-A'raf. Person just gets used to listening to the Quran. Wherever you're going, with this modern technology that you find a person can finish listening to the Quran in a single month. Every day just listen to a juz. By the end of the month, you've listened to the Quran. If you can't read the Quran in a month or 2 months or 3 months, at least you've listened to the Quran, the impact of the Quran inside the lives that we find. So here we find that إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. And the strange thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside this surah mentions so many times about the concept about the Quran. Some six occasions inside the same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. The first thing, a strange, a marvelous Quran that's been sent down upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. يَهْدِي إِلَى الرُّشْدِ. Secondly, it guides towards guidance, the right impact, the right things inside life, what this Quran does. Thirdly, in the same surah, فَآمَنَّا بِهِ. We believed in it. to believe in the Quran, when a person believes that this is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believes deeply inside it, the world becomes crystal clear around them. Fourthly, Allah mentioned, أَنَّ لَمَّا سَمِعْنَا الْهُدَى. When we heard Huda is min asma' al-Quran. Huda is from amongst the names of the Quran. وَمَنْ يُعِدْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّهِ. Whoever turns away from the dhikr of his Lord. What is the dhikr of our Lord? Of Allah is the Quran, whoever turns away from it. Then again, Allah mentioned, وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَدْعُوهُ. When our servant stood up, we began to call him. Some ulama said, began to recite the Quran. So here's six inferences inside this same surah, speaking about the Quran, speaking about the impact of the Quran. And as we mentioned, that the Prophet ﷺ, that he engaged, as various narrations find Imam Bayhaqi, Dalail Nubuwa, and the Mustadrak Imam Hakim, that you find Ibn Abbas said that the Prophet ﷺ never saw the jinn. But as we said, that we concluded maybe because those verses were sent when they were just hearing the Quran. But other occasions, there's a hadith whereby the Prophet ﷺ, he entered into the world. He said to his companions, who wants to come with me to enter into the world of the jinn? Nobody got up till eventually Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he stood up and he went with the Prophet ﷺ. And he drew a line and he said, don't cross this line or don't cross this circle. And as he went forward, you find a black cloudness began to appear and began to come around the Prophet ﷺ. And as he moved into that cloud, he disappeared. He disappeared with him. And another blackness of cloud, it went towards a different direction. And he said, I remained there until the morning. I want you to step forward, but I refused to go forward because the Prophet ﷺ told me to stay there. And in the morning, the Prophet ﷺ, he emerged back. And then he revealed to me, he mentioned that he'd enter into the world. And then he said that every bone that you say Bismillah upon, that we eat, when we say Bismillah, then that somehow transforms to become food for the jinn. And the dung of our animals becomes food for their animals. So they're a world, an entity that live in their own world. They have their own world. They have their own procreation. That's what ulama have concluded, that they will be judged. وَأَنَّ مِنَّ الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّ الصَّالِحُونَ. There's going to be Muslims amongst them, righteous amongst them. There's going to be paradise for them. That's why Surah Al-Rahman, if you study, it makes inferences inside there that Jannah is going to be for the human beings and for the jinn. It's going to be given to them as well. They are also trialed and tested. We are trialed and tested upon the face of the earth that we find. وَلَنْ نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا. As we mentioned, the impact of belief, the impact of tawheed. Inside this surah, how many inferences? وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبِّنَا مَتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَةً وَلَا وَلَدًا. Glorified is our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has taken no partner, no sahiba, no comrade, and no son. Because this is the common belief even today. What do they attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So amongst the world of the jinn, they had wrong beliefs. They had incorrect beliefs. So they said, glorified is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what this belief that we existed before inside our lives. وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَقُولُ سَفِيهُنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ شَطَطًا. And the foolish ones amongst them, whether it be Iblis or whoever followed that creed, we used to say jawr, we used to say evil, bad things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we used to attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how quickly iman entered into their hearts and to their mind. Hearing the Quran, straight away, dismantled all the previous beliefs. The beliefs what these people that they had. And they say that when people used to enter into the valley, they used to seek refuge with the jinn. فَزَادُوهُمْ رَحَقًا. It increased them in pride, arrogance and sin. That look, they're looking for us for protection. So let us exploit them. Let us exploit the human being. They come to us for protection. Let us exploit them. So as we mentioned, that the jinn, they like to play with the mind and the life of the human beings that we find. And then we find more beliefs inside this surah. Whereby Allah mentioned, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُ مَا اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Say that the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they belong only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't implore, call upon no one except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Allah mentioned in another place inside the Quran, لَهُ دَعْوَةُ الْحَقِّ. Inside Surah Ra'ad. In the context, the siyaq of this ayat is speaking about dua, supplication. So ulama said there's two meanings. لَهُ دَعْوَةُ الْحَقِّ. To Allah belongs the correct call. The correct call, awwalan, as ulama mentioned, is the call of Allah. What is the call of Allah? Abbas, he mentioned the call of Allah, لَهُ دَعْوَةُ الْحَقِّ. دَعْوَةُ الْحَقِّ وَقَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That's the دَعْوَةُ الْحَقِّ. And the second meaning of da'watul haqq in this context is وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُ مَا اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. When you call, you make dua, you only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you ask, only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You seek aid and assistance, only seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the impact of iman that we find. The masajid is not a place of people just to be enjoying themselves. Masajid as well is not there to certain symbols that this is a certain type of masjid or certain following of a masjid or certain understanding of masjid. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُمَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. This is sectarianism that's divided us. It's the house of Allah. It's not supposed to be a specific concept or concept thought of a masjid. That's why every God people ask the question, what type of masjid is it? What do you mean, what type of masjid is it? وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُمَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. The masajid are the houses of Allah. Call upon only Allah. Praise Allah, remember Allah, glorify Allah. That's what the houses have been established upon the face of this earth, is to remember Allah, not to remember people. That we need to impress this inside our hearts and minds, because we're so influenced by people more and more. It's the greatness of Allah, the grandeur of Allah that should be influencing our heart and our mind and our thoughts. Due people are given the due respect, and there's limitations on the respect that you give. Where's our respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where do we feel that feeling inside our hearts? What have I done for the sake of Allah? Not that Allah needs our sake, needs our help. What have I done inside my life? What have I done to say that I believe in Allah? That I say I believe in Allah. How many masses of people today say they believe in Allah? What do we do to show our belief towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What's our obedience, our ta'a towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَدْعُوا رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ أَحَدًا. I call upon only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I associate no partners with Him. As we began with, life of a believer is pure tawheed. Pure belief. Pure inside their heart. Nothing but calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ دَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا. Even the Prophet alayhi salam, there's no benefit I can give you. No harm or no benefit. Even the Prophet alayhi salam cannot benefit or do anything for any individual. If he's saying that whilst he's living, so how are people saying whilst he's dead, he's left this dunya, that he can somehow benefit us? That's even more strange. Because whilst he was living, he said, I can't benefit or do anything for you. He said to his own daughter Fatima, ask me now in this world. Ask me whatever you want and I'll try my best for you. But as for al-akhirah, there's not much that I can do. He can only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rescue so-and-so, to help so-and-so. But even then, al-shafa'a al-kubra, the real shafa'a, the real intercession, the real concept being allowed is from whom? Is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will say to the Prophet alayhi salam, he would go down in the state of sajda, and certain inspiration and words of supplication will be given to him. And then he said to him, raise your head. Ask and it will be granted. So there's no concept of what we believe, a total open intercession that the Prophet will just come on the day of judgment and intercede for by us default being Muslims. No, he will ask Allah. He will go in a state of sujood and supplication. Then Allah will say to him, when he's shown his submission, his devotion, Allah will say to him, now ask. And then Allah subhanahu will allow who he asks or who his intercession is granted for. Why we mention is because as we began with this cultural concept of Muslims that we live in, as we began, we're cultural Muslims. By default, I'm a Muslim. So by default, I should go to paradise. I don't really need to do anything inside my life. Whether I commit shirk, whether I commit ma'asi, whether I commit dhunub, whether I do this, whether I do that. Because I'm a Muslim, I'll go to paradise. There's no difference between you and a Christian today. It sounds harsh. That's what Christian theology belief is. That Jesus Christ died for my sins, for our sins. So do whatever you want on the face of the earth. And Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And he's already interceded. His blood has been spilt for you. So you may as well do whatever you want to do. What's the difference today then? What's the difference in that concept then? If Muslims believe that. And we shouldn't say that this is not what Muslims believe. Because this is the core element of belief. That our belief is so weakened that we become reliant upon people. Reliant upon other people to do actions for us to get us to paradise. Which is something shallow and hollow that in our daily life we strive ourselves to get what we want to gain to. But when it gets to paradise, we want to pass the buck to somebody else. Pass it to my father. Pass it to the imam. Pass it to the sheikh. Pass it to the prophet. Pass it to the prophet. Pass it to the companions. Pass it to somebody else. Why? There may be some element of truth that some intercession is allowed, as we mentioned. But why is this our creed? Why is this our core creed in our lives it's become? And then the other core element, a freelance life that we find that God is all forgiving, is merciful. Then do whatever you want to do. That's what Muslims are saying today. And later on, I'll repent in my life. God will forgive me. God will only judge me. God knows what's inside my heart. God knows what's inside your heart while you're committing zina.
God knows what's inside your heart. You're taking drugs and fornication, adultery. And say, God knows what's inside my heart. God knows that inside your heart is nothing but kufr and disbelief and ma'asi. God knows at that moment in time that you try to play with the words of God and you try to play with God. That God knows what I'm doing inside my life. So that's why the ulama said that the jinn were more powerful. When they heard the Quran, it moved them swiftly to become obedient towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِنِّي لَنْ يُجِيرَنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٌ. No one can rescue me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَنْ أَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِي مُلْتَحَدًا. And no one can save me or help me except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. Belief. No one knows about the unseen. And no one is told about the unseen except for that which Allah discloses to his messengers. That's why Ibn Kathir inside the tafsir, he begins to discuss. Because maybe people may not fluster around our words, but people praise Ibn Kathir. Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, he highlights clearly that the Prophet ﷺ cannot do anything for anyone inside his tafsir. It's there, black and white. Highlights it based upon this verse. That no one knows the unseen. He doesn't know the unseen. He only knows those segments of the unseen that Allah disclosed to him, told him. He does not know the total unseen. So for you to rely upon the Prophet is a fallacy, is a false belief. Is what Ibn Kathir is highlighting inside his tafsir, clearly black and white. That don't even rely upon the Prophet ﷺ. And the benefits of this belief, يَهْدِي إِلَى رُشْدِي فَآمَنَّا بِهِ. Quran doesn't leave us, as we began with, just warning us. It gives us these bushra, bashair, gives us glad tidings. The Quran, يَهْدِي إِلَى رُشْدِي. Person who follows the Quran, it leads the person towards guidance. That's the first benefit. فَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِرَبِّهِ فَلَا يَخَافُ بَخْصًا وَلَا رَحَقًا. Whoever believes inside his Lord, then it doesn't fear, diminish any reward. Ibn Kathir, he mentions, فَلَا يَخَافُ أَنْ يَنْقُصْ مِنْ حَسَّنَاتِهِ وَلَا يَحْمَلْ عَلَيْهِ سَيِّئَاتِ آخَرِينَ. He doesn't fear that his good deeds are going to be made deficient or the sins of other people are going to be put upon him. Then he mentioned a verse from Surah Taha, فَلَا يَخَافُ ظُلْمًا وَلَا هَضْمًا. The human being, insan, doesn't fear any, no oppression. No taking away of your rewards if you did what you believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't oppress His servants. Those who believe, those who carry out the task He tells us to do, He will reward them accordingly. وَأَلَّا وَاسْتَقَامُوا عَلَى الطَّرِيقَةِ لَأَسْقَيْنَهُمْ مَاءً غَدَقًا. If they came upon the straight path, whether it be speaking about the jinn or the rest of humanity, لَأَسْقَيْنَهُمْ مَاءً غَدَقًا, will yani send out immense water, will gush out from the heavens, be placed upon the meaning barakat. Another place in the Quran, Allah mentioned, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا. In the people of village that they believed, if you really believed, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, we'd open up, rip open the heavens and the earth and blessings to the people. But they deny, they reject. That's why some ulama mentioned that if you study those countries and locations where there's drought, there's oppression, there's hardships, not that we're blaming these people, but if you study in great detail, you find a great element of shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. A great element of them imploring, calling upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of idolatry, of voodoo, of magic, of shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. All types of relics and beliefs that we find has led those states and those people to fall into that state that they're in. Because this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That those who believe and have the right belief, there'll be barakat from the heavens and earth bestowed upon those individuals. As we began with this surah, or the whole discussion is speaking about the world of the unseen. So the surah begins to close about the world of the unseen to highlight to us that all this journey of the unseen in this surah and the previous surahs, whether it be the concept of punishment inside the grave or the destruction of people that existed before and the stories about the people that existed before. And likewise, the identity of the jinn that we find, قُلْ إِنْ أَدْرِي أَقَرِيبُ مَا تُوْعَدُونَ أَمْ يَجْعَلُ لَهُ رَبِّي أَمَدًا. Said, this punishment, is it close by? Or is it going to be أَمَدًا مُدَّةٌ طَوِيلًا? Is it going to be something delayed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That this punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only known that when He will throw down His punishment upon these people, upon any people that He wants to place upon. And as we mentioned that, this concept of believing that people hold the knowledge of the unseen, or people claim, or somebody may claim they know the knowledge of when the final hour will be. Read the end of Surah Luqman, the five concepts of the unseen, that none of them knows the concept of the unseen except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one knows when the hour is going to be, what mother is going to give delivery to, and what the rains are going to send down. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. Inna Allah khabirun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows. Alimun Khabir. So here Allah mentioned that no one knows which soul, where they're going to die, where they're going to live, what they're going to earn tomorrow. Inna Allah indahu ilmu sa'a. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the knowledge of the unseen, the hour. No one knows the knowledge of the hour, except for those glimpses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about upon the blessed tongue of the Prophet alayhi salam, who told us. For what purpose? For what purpose? Just to marvel at it? The purpose to do what? To prepare. To prepare for the last hour. Thus he said that if some of you have some seeds inside your hand, and the trumpet is blown of the last hour, don't throw those seeds away in the sky, in the air. Throw them, put them in the ground and cover them up. Still working. وَلَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Man will only have whatever he strives for. Continuously striving. That's you find the ulama, they said, لَا رَاحَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. There's never no rest for a believer. There's never no rest. Until when? When they hit the grave. When they touch the grave, that's when raha begins to exist for the believer. That's when you find that life has gone into the barzakh, into an interspace. That's why the whole is journey. The more the yaqeen inside the akhirah, the more the striving, the more the struggling, the more the moving away from attachment, from people, from society, from loved ones, from family members, from parents, from children, whatever wealth, property, inside your heart. Maybe you don't need to display it, and we shouldn't display it, but inside your heart, there's a movement inside your heart that I'm moving in this journey. This is the real journey. I have to leave them behind, leave everything behind. But when a person makes that transition, that inside their heart and their body and their soul is to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes a smooth transition. It becomes a smooth transition for those individuals who just made a journey, one stop to another stop. That's all it is for them. One bus stop to another stop. One train stop to another stop. One hiking from one location to another location. That's all it is, a simple movement for the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have that belief. And that's inside this conclusion. If I know, nobody knows. Alimul ghaybi fala yudhiru ala ghaybi ahada. No one knows the knowledge of the unseen except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no individual knows the ending of any individual. That's why we should be very, very careful about people who leave this dunya to speak about them. Because unfortunately inside our society we find it's common to speak about the living and the dead. And for the dead it's even more sinful to speak about them. We shouldn't speak about them, about what they've done inside life, what took place, and remain silent about it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with those individuals. So at the end of this surah, they speak about a concept. No one knows about the unseen, even the messenger alayhi salatu salam. And that's we find Imam Sa'd inside his tafsir, he lists many fawaid. Some 7-8 different benefits of this surah inside our daily lives of understanding what we can learn from it. And a key lesson, as we mentioned, is one of tawheed, one of oneness that we need to instill inside our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq and ability to be able to decipher and to understand and to read the Quran, implement the Quran. And if that's not possible in life, at least istima'ul Quran, be able to listen to the Quran. That it begins to have some trickling effect inside our lives to lead us towards obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In